state pay for attending an assembly, which, by the way, was introduced later at the end of the Peloponnesian War, or state pay for serving as a juror, and this was introduced by Pericles in the 450s, this state pay was not a fortune. It may have amounted to the equivalent of buying a McDonald's Happy Meal today. But it was probably enough to encourage a small farmer or a potter, a small artisan, to take a day off work to attend an assembly, especially if that assembly was debating a major issue, new taxes, going to war, a treaty with another place, for example. And this encouragement to attend the assembly was even more so if our farmer or artisan had a slave or two to carry on the work back home in his master's absence. Now, Greece was a slave-based economy, and oddly to us, slavery afforded the citizens the leisure time to take part in political life. And this is something that I'll go into more detail over in a future lecture. But to us, it sounds very odd that a democracy could condone slavery, and yet slavery was fundamental to its workings. But in Athens and in other democratic polis, that was the case. And here's another difference now between now and then. I'm sure our elected elite today make more than the cost of a Happy Meal. By the way, state pay helps us to see that the majority of polis were not oligarchic, but democratic. Pay for political participation is incompatible with an oligarchic form of government. And Aristotle in the Politics indicates that this type of pay was on a large scale and common to a number of polis. That's why we can say that the nature of the Greek states in the classical period was democratic. Very often you come across in books that the majority of states were oligarchic, that democracy was in a minority. That doesn't seem to be the case. So the Athenian government, I think, set a trend for other polis, because the Athenians invented democracy. Other polis followed suit. And that gives even more legitimacy to the claim of Pericles that Athens was the school of Greece. Now, Pericles makes this claim at the beginning of his funeral oration that was delivered at the end of the first year of the Peloponnesian War, so in 430. He says that Athens was the school of Hellas. Now, he's not just saying that Athens was the place that all other states wanted to be like. He is indicating, I think, that the Athenian system of government, that the Athenian way of life was emulated by other places. And democracy and state pay are two examples of that. Now, all of these differences may seem obvious, differences between now and then. But perhaps less obvious is how we take for granted that people in the Athenian democracy really did have an equal say in state affairs. I mean, this radical system seems to allow that. All male citizens over the age of 18 can go to an assembly, they can debate all matters of domestic and foreign policy, they can vote on them, and however way they vote, that's the final decision. And that sounds wonderful. And Demosthenes, who we've mentioned before, in a speech that was delivered in 355 BC, and although it's later, we can apply it to the 5th century as well, said that Athenian democracy was compassionate towards the weak, that Athenian democracy prohibited powerful individuals acting violently towards others, and that Athenian democracy refused to allow corrupt speakers to influence the masses. Now, this sounds fantastic. In theory, it sounds great. But the reality was very different, thanks to the demagogues.